yesterday, that particular play, if you was on a return, you think you'd...
No. Lo, that would never happen. Look, I'm telling you, Lo, I ran a 4-1, probably a 4-2 when I had the football in my hand. Now, why we're talking about Richard James right now. We're not talking about Jerry Rice or anything like that. You know, I can tell you wanted to take a punt, Jack. Yeah. Okay, Lo. All right, but it's no way I would have gotten ran down.
There you go. Lo, you got anything else? Because you just got shut down.
Anything else?
You just got me, Jerry. You just punched me in the face. So let me go recover.
Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. These two got together just 2 weeks ago. Nick Mullins threw for 400 yards against the Seattle defense in Seattle, but it was a game in which the Niners said they got embarrassed by the Seahawks. 2 weeks later, receivers, tight ends, they're still running free against this defense. Kyle Shanahan is a play caller. I mean, how good is he? Because you got to figure Seattle came into this game looking to make adjustments, and yet the Niners still were just having their way with open receivers all over the field.
Yeah, you know, Seattle, they really wanted this football game, but, you know, Kyle Shanahan did a fantastic job of putting the ball in the hands of his playmakers. You know, Nick Mullins, he played well. He didn't turn the ball over, you know, 275 yards. And, you know, Dante Pettis still making plays. It's just like it's one of those things. It's like it breeds confidence, and I think this team right now is starting to gain some momentum. Unfortunately, you know, the season is coming to an end, but I think this team is going to try to finish strong.
Offensively, as a unit, how impressive is it that you're on your third string quarterback, your fourth string running back? You didn't have your highest priced wide out on the team. Well, how big of a boost does that give your offensive unit?
Well, it just shows that you have some talent on that team, and these players going to play, you know, with each other. And I think it has a lot to do with the leadership. You know, Richard Sherman, you know, he said that sometimes you just got to look at each other and you got to say to each other, hey, look, you know, let's go do this. We need to do it as a team. And it was good to see them beat Seattle yesterday because I was tired of it. I was tired of, you know, Seattle winning so many games back-to-back, and for the Niners to step up the way they did yesterday, got to be a big boost for them.
Jerry, you're talking about stepping up and want to, and you're talking about playing against a playoff team. Last week, a team that had hopes for the playoffs, the Denver Broncos. This week, the Seattle Seahawks, and they've been playing pretty well. How much is it, do you think, just want to and heart wins games? And then how much is it of coaching? And then how much is it of athletic ability? When you think about that, is want to and heart, because if you got to have some ability to be playing on Sundays anyway, how much is it just the want to and heart?
Well, you know, the coaches, they can put together a game plan. It's up to those players to go out there and implement that game plan and also, you know, win that football game. And that was something Bill Walsh always did with us. He said, you know what, the players got to take the team over. So, yeah, you got to have that heart and you got to have that determination to get it done. But, you know, I think it's up to the players, and it starts during the week, the way you prepare, you know, getting ready for the opponent. Then you try to carry that into the game with confidence that we have put the work in. Now we can win this football game.
Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. Perhaps it's an overreaction to how exciting yesterday's game was, but there is a contingent of the Niner faithful who want to see Nick Mullins get a legitimate start or a legitimate opportunity to be the starting quarterback of this team next season. If he continues to play well, and they've got the Chicago Bears coming up this week, do you think Kyle Shanahan and the organization should give him a chance to win the starting job, or is this Jimmy Garoppolo's job no matter what?
I think it's Jimmy Garoppolo's job, to be honest with you. Now, if anything happens to Jimmy, you know, and with what they have invested in Jimmy, he's the starter right now. Now, if anything should happen to him, you need a quarterback like Nick Mullins around that you know that can get the job done. He done proven it over and over, and I think he deserves to be that second guy right now with the opportunity of competing and also, you know, pushing Jimmy G. Ain't nothing wrong with competition. It's only going to make the other guy better. So, you know, I think they have that in Nick Mullins.
Does that affect the chemistry of the team, knowing that maybe this one position isn't an open competition, but everyone else is? Or is the quarterback position so special that guys understand that the rules are different for QBs than they are for other positions?
Well, you know what? It's one of those where you want to know who the starter is going to be. That's always. You want to know who the starter is going to be. Now, if something should happen to that starter, you've got to have a legitimate backup where you have confidence in this guy and where this, the players know that, you know what? All right, so Jimmy G just went down. Nick Mullins is in. He done proven. And we know he can get the job done. We can still, you know, win the football game and get it done.
Jerry, no question. I mean, look no further than the great Joe Montana and you know who, in Young. You guys were in that same situation. It's good to have backups. Guys understood whose role it was. And no matter what, the backup feels that he should be starting. But when you have great quarterback play, it just helps your team. How much do you feel that with Beathard, though, now you understand what you have in Mullins. You understand how good this guy has shown what he can play, 400 yards the first time yesterday, another big outing. Do you look at it now and say, okay, for draft position, we got to see what Mullins is, and we know him. Do you now go back to Beathard and give him those two games because you are trying to make sure draft position, not that you're going to play to lose, but also just to give this young man another opportunity to step in the quarterback position?
And no, I think you have to continue with Nick Mullins. You got to let him play this out. You know, he deserves it. I know Beathard, you know, he lost the job. He got hurt and – then, you know, Nick Mullins came in. But you got to, you know, just play this out, see what happens, and let's see if this guy can finish the season strong.
Hall of Famer.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at right now. I feel like you never should lose your job to an injury. But right now, Nick Mullins, he's hot. And I think you need to continue in, going with him.
Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champ, 13-time Pro Bowler, and member of the 95.7 The Game family, Jerry Rice, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Now, as promised, every day this week at 8 o'clock, we've got signed Jerry Rice memorabilia that we are giving away to you because we love you, and we thank you for the continued support, so we wanted to do something nice this holiday season. Right now, caller number 14, 888-957-9570. Caller number 14 in honor of the 14 1,000-yard receiving seasons that Jerry Rice produced during his career. 14 seasons in which he racked up 1,000 or more receiving yards. Caller number 14 wins today. 888-957-9570. Carlos in Pacifica still on hold? Fire away. Carlos in Pacifica, welcome to the show. The floor is yours. Fire away.
How you doing, guys? Good morning. Listen, one of the points I want to make about the draft pick, yeah, it would have been great to get a higher draft pick. But there's still no guarantee that the draft pick is going to turn out to be a superstar. Look at the trouble we had with Alden Smith, with Foster. I'll tell you, a guy like Mullen wasn't even drafted, and look at how he's performing. So there is no guarantee, even if you get the number one or number two, he's going to be a superstar. I'd rather have somebody young, hungry, and wants to play, learns the system. And I'll take a win over Seattle any day of the week. And that's the only point I just wanted to make about that whole thing.
Great call. Appreciate you weighing in. I would say this, though. That's a great argument that people love to bring up, that the draft is an inexact science. There's no guarantee that the number one pick is going to result in a top-notch player. Agreed. But it's because of that. Because of that very reason why you want the number one pick. Because it's such an inexact science, wouldn't you rather have a pool of everybody to choose from rather than everybody minus three or everybody minus four? I want as many poker chips as humanly possible when I sit down to play No Limit Hold'em. I want as many bullets as I can fire in a game of No Limit Hold'em. I don't want less poker chips. I want more. And the higher the draft pick you have, the more poker chips you take to the table. More of your calls coming up next. 888-957-9570. Nick Mullins, should he get an opportunity to be the team's starting quarterback over Jimmy Garoppolo next season? 888-957-9570. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The NFL playoffs.
Touchdown, Seattle!
Are.
Caught by Brown, and he's gone!
Coming on 95.7. The Game. Joe Low and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
When this album came out, there was a great tour to promote it. And if anyone went and saw it, it was late 90s, early 2000s. They had a turntable as the stage. So it wasn't like your traditional stage that you would see it, I don't know, like Shoreline, where, you know, there's the band and then everyone's in front of them. Yeah. It was just a turntable in the center of, like, the arena. So it was a 360-degree performance.
Awesome.
It was awesome back then. Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Dante Whitner, the Hitman, coming up in about 12 minutes at 8:30. Matt Barrows will join us at 9:30. And the moment many of you have been waiting for at 9:45. Cleveland won its sixth game of the season Saturday night in Denver. I think you're the only one who feels that way.
Yeah, I'm the only one with the buttons, too. Which is...
This is so great because I had to call Hugh and thank him for getting fired.
What a bum.
I mean, think about that.
We talked about it before the show. I said Hugh's the one who really hurts the most because had he stuck around, the dysfunctionality would have continued and they wouldn't have six wins right now. It still might have gone over because Cleveland is better than I thought that they were going to be. Baker Mayfield's better than I thought. I think he's better than all
of
us.
He's a bum,
thought.
Rock.
That wasn't me who said that, Burgess Meredith.
Since the Browns dumped Hugh and Todd Haley, they are 100% in the red zone. When they get in the red zone, they have scored a touchdown 100% of the time. They dumped them in week nine. It was just week 15. The Browns are 100% in the red zone since moving on from Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley.
Oh, boy.
Baker Mayfield's numbers are through the roof. His completion percentage, everything. Every statistical metric has gone leaps and bounds through the roof since they moved on to Freddie Kitchens, the now current offensive coordinator. Cleveland's playing so well, they're probably going to give Greg Williams the job and then just set themselves back another 2 years.
I don't think they give it to him. Him and his son, I wouldn't do that. I think they're going to go in another direction.
But it's Cleveland. Are you 100% positive they won't screw this up?
You know what? You're right. I'm not 100%. I do know that I didn't think Baker played great this last game.
Well, we're not going to break the game down. Don't worry about the game. Let's worry about your feet. You got there. Six wins. Dibs is going to give you a 15-minute foot massage. And today at 9:45, because so many people want to know, we're going to start working out the details for the big event. They want to know about live stream. They want to know about tickets. They want to know about T-shirts. Will there be food and cocktails?
A lot of questions still to be answered surrounding this bet. The only thing that's been solved is that he wins and I lose. So other than that, the 10-minute, 15-minute, we'll go to the tape.
30 minutes.
We'll see exactly what the parameters were. But congratulations. 2 straight years you've avoided giving me $500 for a cockamamie on-air radio bet.
Don't be noble.
No. I will be noble because part of losing is the acceptance of the loss. But you know what doesn't suit me also is being the sore loser. We've talked about how I'm trying to grow in certain areas, and this is a big growth area for me. So
I have laid off because of that reason, and that's why I haven't been saying much. You have handled this.
Get a load of this snowflake conversation. Diz is going to be noble, and Lowe is going to lay off.
You may not like
this
it, Coach.
This is America in 2018 at its finest.
It's too bad, Joe.
Why don't you two hug?
What time,
how about that?
What
how
time
about a nice
on this?
I think we'll be close enough when the due day comes, when the day comes, the 11th hour.
Get a
so.
Load of this. Noble, how noble is this? Why
I laid
you
off you because I knew you were trying to better yourself.
I appreciate that,
Lowe. That's not how the show works.
I know, but you know that he would right now, this is weird that he's not. You know he would be really simple. He is really.
Here's what I know.
Yeah.
You're falling victim to him baiting you. You're going to be noble, and then he's going to beat you in Lowe versus Dibs, and he is going to trash you after he beats you in Lowe versus Dibs. But you're not going to be able to come back with your little foot massage win because the moment will have already passed. You're falling victim to the bait. I think Dibs is doing a tremendous job
not
of baiting
true.
You.
Don't let him do that to you.
Written all over your forehead. Why don't you go hug him to let him know how much you care about
thanks,
him?
Thanks, Lucifer. Yeah, you going to wash my feet, sucker.
You know what you should do? You should get the foot massage naked. Dibs has to do a naked foot massage.
I wore Speedo. Speedo sounds good. Honestly, I'm thinking about...
Since you're doing this,
because he's going to probably... Right.
He's going to crush you.
Okay.
That's so untrue. You're wrong and you're out of line.
I'm not going to wash my feet. Thank you. I'm excited. You know what? You need to lose this, and we are going to have it in a public place. I'm telling you, people... The text line's blown up. They can't wait.
Close the bridge. Let's do it on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Joe, that worked really well
last time they had a radio stunt at the Bay Bridge. That's probably before your time, but that station ended up being sued. There was an old show here. Might have been Opie and Anthony when they were doing a show here. They shut down the Bay Bridge so that one of them could get a haircut or something. If you know all the details, hit us on the text line 95795. But
Chilton Autobody text line.
They stopped traffic on the Bay Bridge, and it turned into being a huge thing. They had to pay like a massive six-figure fine. It was a huge ordeal. Many years ago.
To shut down the bridge?
Like 20 years ago. So now it's probably a million.
I was going to say, based on cost of living here, it might be a billion.
Yeah.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Easy, gum. Nobody said my eyes have to be open through all this. Nobody said,
you know, I mean, Joe, they wanted me to say it, so I had to say it. They said, put the lotion in the basket.
You're that easily influenced by the trolls in the text line.
It's going to turn out in a few days that the ratings for Niners Seahawks fall short of Broncos Browns in the Bay Area because so many people Saturday night were wondering if Lowe was going to get to that sixth win.
Yeah.
Twitter went nuclear.
Nuclear.
I couldn't believe how Twitter. I looked at that and I sat there. I go, this is bigger than I had originally anticipated.
True
and friend. I immediately started taking notes. I got 3 pages of notes for this thing.
3 pages.
I already have material I'm going to write.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
I couldn't shut off the brain. The creative process was in full effect.
Twitter was blown up. Instagram blown up. I'm telling you.
The gram?
Oh, my gram blew. I was like, people were like, Lo, I'm so happy for you. Is Dibs going to do this? On, I promise.
It is amazing. He has a picture of himself doing TV with Dennis O'Donnell
right.
last night. And it's just one of those, hey, about to go on TV with my boy. And you go into the mentions and it's all about you. It's no context whatsoever. I have a video of Chubbs on a scooter this weekend.
Yeah.
Someone's in there. Yo, when's the foot massage going to
yes.
be? You have to live stream it. It's like, this is
great
not
video,
the forum.
By the way, of your guy.
This is not the forum for the foot
yes.
massage. And it'll probably be in January. We're really going to hype it up. Could be Super Bowl weekend.
It has to be.
Super Bowl halftime show.
It could be. Could be. I mean, that's right in there. Trust me, Coach. I didn't go on Twitter for 36 hours from Saturday night. Joe saw.
I was there this morning when you
I opened
in.
Up my Twitter this morning and I look at the mentions. 98 mentions.
It's crazy.
I thought I had died.
Go watch Channel 5 yesterday. Their Twitter blew up. Dennis kept saying he went twice.
He was talking about
talking
it on the post game last night.
We were talking about the Niners and he switched the whole thing and said, oh my God.
On air.
I was like, where is he going with this? Because he knew they heard about the bet because listen to the show.
Yeah.
And Dennis is like, I'm so happy. I love Dibs. I'm so happy he's got it. He said,
those
tell
two
me about
statements kind of conflict with one another.
Exactly.
I'm so happy he has to rub your feet,
yes!
but I love him.
Yes. He said that he would come. He said he wanted to be present for it. That's your boy Dennis.
Yeah, we got to get him to do play-by-play. I think he's the perfect, you know, bring a lot of people to the thing.
Since we're already in this, we can do it for a little bit before 9:45. I want to do play-by-play. Here's what I'm thinking. Since we have the money spot, which is a full hour.
Yes.
I'm thinking about, it's 10, 15-minute massage. We got to get to the bottom of that. I'm thinking since it's a full hour segment, we open the segment with a pregame show, right?
Yeah.
We'll do interviews. Dibs, you'll be interviewed.
Oh,
Lo, you'll
boy.
Be interviewed. We'll probably get some fan reaction. We might have a foot analyst come on.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe a masseuse or someone who works at a spa.
Woodhouse
Day Spa,
maybe?
Walnut Creek, for example, possibly comes on to give some expert advice, and then we'll commence the event. There will be a play-by-play man. Would love to get Papa, but he's pricey, so who knows how we'll play this out. I would like to do color. We'll do
yes.
the event. Then we'll have a post-game. I'm thinking about live streaming, a cake in the shape of a foot for
yes.
no reason other than it would be funny.
Celebratory.
T-shirts, live streams. The works. I don't even know if we do it here.
No.
This studio does not seem conducive to a foot massage.
We cannot do it here. There's too many fans that want to see this.
I want to give away tickets, too.
I was thinking about, honestly, Saturday I was thinking about, when I was watching the game, I was like, if I win, I'm going to tell Dibs it's just all fun. You don't have to do
true
it.
True friend.
No, it's Phi Alpha.
Yeah, you are okay. demeaning true friend now.
Okay, get a load of Pope Francis
you
over here.
You are debasing the idea of true friend Phi Alpha.
His holiness, the Dalai Lama over here, is all about compassion all of a sudden.
No, because it was like...
Yeah, no, I get it.
This debate, everyone's going, because I thought we'd keep it rolling. I thought this was going to be kind of a joke, that people keep it going, oh, when does it happen? You know how we do certain things, and sometimes it never comes to fruition. You guys know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just about everything, but
right.
not this.
Okay, thank you. And then when my mentions and Instagram and everyone's blown up, and then Dennis comes out of nowhere yesterday and talks about it without me even telling him, and they all knew, the people want to see this. So my point is...
This is so big. This is bigger than the bunions on your feet. This is bigger than you.
I don't know if anything's
here.
Bigger than the bunions on his feet.
It
I'll be the judge of that, unfortunately.
Joe, we have to do this at a public... This has to be at a public place. We cannot
see,
do
See, now
this.
You're getting into areas where... I don't know if that was in the spirit of the original wager, so...
Right.
I have a certain amount of protestation as far as the venue goes. I will tell you this.
He does have say.
A good friend of mine, Clint, and I were talking at the bar over the weekend.
Eastwood?
He's a podiatrist. No.
Eastwood.
Shout out Dr. Clint from Oakland. And I said,
shout out Mule.
I said, perhaps you can come in and be my second because you know, the foot must be examined first to make sure there's nothing completely unhealthy that I may encounter.
Great point.
I'm not just going to go blindly and start grabbing those catcher's
mitts. You can't do that, Coach.
You can't contest this if you come in with toxic feet and he ends up getting sick.
Everybody's feet is toxic. Come on, everyone's feet has germs.
I clean my feet.
Yeah, I'm not going to do nothing crazy. I'm just going to take my shoes off and my socks off.
Be certain protections put in place for me and my family. As the major breadwinner for the Dibley family, there are certain protections that must be put in place for my children and my family. Turn off the camera.
No. Are you taking out additional life insurance?
It all depends on what my podiatrist indicates is the risk. You know, it's a risk-reward situation.
Now, you notice how you tried to be friends with him at the beginning of this?
Yes.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for helping me
out. How does Dante Whitner follow this up? He's coming up in a minute. This is not a good setup for Dante Whitner. We'll ask him about the Niners, naturally.
Yeah.
Whew. It's a great lead-in. I mean, he could speak to what an NFL player's, a veteran's feet look like.
That's what he can speak
to. At this point in the season, certainly. I mean, a 16-year career, I can only imagine the rigors and the turmoil that your poor feet have undergone.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a big event.
It's getting bigger by the day.
In summation, this is going to be a large event.
Feet massage insurance.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
There's plenty of time to get involved in this. Dr. Scholes, everybody out there who is somewhat foot-related, or anyone out there in general who wants to get down, we are going to be signing up sponsors. You are going to want to partner up with this event. This is going to be a huge event.
Maybe a fungal cream. We can stay ahead of it with a fungal cream.
The text line said the baby soft, so I want definitely you to use... the stuff to
burn. You would
lotion.
Like baby oil.
Yes.
And again, okay. As we get into the parameters, the lotion, the choice of lotion was always mine. It was not.
Okay.
And we can listen to the tape. There are so many things that you may want to inject into it, but the pushback will be significant.
Okay. Do I have any say?
Yeah. The tape will be played at 9:45.
You take your socks off and you sit there quietly. That's what happens.
All right. Oh, man. Three-time Pro Bowler and 11-year NFL veteran. Former 49ers safety. You can check him out doing a tremendous job. 49ers pre and post over at NBC Sports Bay Area. The Hitman, Dante Whitner, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Dante, as always, thank you for your time. It's a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you today. Correct me if I'm wrong, but as I'm watching this Seahawks 49ers game yesterday, I'm thinking to myself that for the first time in a while, I'm watching the 49ers out-muscle the Seahawks. Did you see it the same way?
I saw it the same way. I saw their energy far exceed the energy that Seattle put on the football field yesterday. You can tell the Niners really wanted to win this football game. They were embarrassed the last time they played them. And they came out and they did what they had to do. They matched a team that was playing with playoff intensity and have a lot of things to play for. And I was super proud of these guys, especially having so many young guys out there competing.
Dante, the defense is showing much more enthusiasm and they're playing better, but still just 5 takeaways on the season, 2 interceptions. How does the coaching staff go about trying to improve their ability to take the ball away?
Pass rush. You bring some defensive ends that can make quarterbacks nervous and make them want to get rid of football faster than they normally want to get rid of it. That can cause some tips and some disruptions at the line of scrimmage. And that's when a lot of the interceptions and the forced fumbles will start to come. If guys have clear line of sight to throw the football, then you're not going to get too many interceptions.
You're absolutely right. Couldn't agree with you more. Dante, when you look at a team, and no matter what team, talking about pass rush, DBs, corners, all those things, we understand that this Niner team could upgrade. But how much is it as want to? And yesterday, did you see a team that want to and the heart and desires? How much does that measure in any football game?
Well, you know how it is. In the National Football League, some guys have a sense of entitlement. A lot of those young guys, were in their first, second year last year and they expected, big things from this year, they had a sense of entitlement going into the season. And when you have a sense of entitlement, you probably don't work as hard in the offseason. You probably don't take as good a notes as you're supposed to. You're probably not in tune with the details and willing to get your nose bloody for the football team because you have that sense of entitlement.
Sure.
Now that they have these young guys out there that have never played before that want to prove to the football team and the organization that they can play and that they're willing to do everything asked of them, that's when you start to get wins, and that's what they're doing.
Dante Whitner joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What do you think of the performance from Nick Mullins over the last few weeks? And we were curious. The fans are really starting to gravitate towards this kid. Do you think there's a chance that if he plays well against the Bears and the Rams to close the season, that maybe he could get into an open competition for the job with Jimmy Garoppolo next year?
I don't believe we're going to take it that far right now. When you pay a guy over $100 million, he's not in a competition with anybody. He's only in competition with himself. And if he goes, if he steps on the football field, he doesn't perform at that level, then maybe there's an opportunity for somebody else to step in. But at this point, it's Garoppolo's job, and those guys are fighting for the backup job. But Nick Mullins is doing everything you ask him to do. He's showing that he's a starter in the National Football League.
Keeping in that same vein, do you think about bringing C.J. Beathard in over the final couple of games to at least showcase him with the potential that either Mullins or Beathard could then be used as trade bait in the offseason?
I don't think so. I think you allow Nick Mullins to continue to get the looks that he deserves on the football field. He's performing at a very high level. It's not easy for a young guy to come off of the practice squad after never being in a real football game and go out and play certain defenses and certain looks, especially once they have film on you. Now they know what your weaknesses are. They know what your strengths are. And he still continues to stand in there for this football team, deliver the football accurately where it's supposed to be, and he's picking up wins.
No question. So when you're talking about a transition, and you, like earlier you just talked to, and I think you were spot on how the hungry dog hunts best. These younger players haven't had the opportunities, and you see them attention to details. And sometimes you see that happen in this league, just like we've been seeing, like you alluded to, the last couple of weeks. When you're looking at this quarterback position and where we're at, we understand, I'm with you, you pay Jimmy G the money. Absolutely. He is the guy. I get that. But if you have Mullins play and he continues to play well, does that now, does you look at that and say, because Beathard also is a backup. You know you have two capable backups. Do you look at it and say, gosh, can we get a trade for this guy? Is his value now? Can we get a second for him? Can we get a player from Jacksonville trade? Or you look at Miami, you look at all the different teams out there that are going to be searching for a quarterback. Do you trade maybe a player or a draft pick to get to ship him away?
Absolutely. And in the National Football League, it's a business. You're always looking to upgrade your roster. You're always looking for ways to get better. And you don't really need three quarterbacks capable of starting in the NFL. There's teams out there that need quarterbacks. They desperately need quarterbacks. And they'll be willing to give you what you ask for one of these guys. And that's why I think to keep Mullins out there, to allow him to continue to show and put on film and on tape that he's a capable starting quarterback. And who knows what you'll get from him. Who knew that the Niners were going to Garoppolo and pay him what they did? You know, so Mullins continue to develop, continue to make plays on our football games, and he'll put himself in a great position.
Former Niner Dante Whitner with us here on 95.7 The Game. What do you think about the performance of defensive coordinator Robert Saleh yesterday? The team, despite only being a 3-win organization, was fired up. They were generating pressure. They were flying to the football. It was one of the best performances we've seen from that defense this season. And Saleh has to get a lot of credit. This is an individual who's been on the hot seat for the better part of the year. What did you think of his performance yesterday?
I think Saleh deserves a lot of credit. Even the first time they played Seattle, they really stuffed the run. They had 7 runs for 112 yards. Other than that, they have about 22 runs for 50-some yards. It's just once they don't pay attention, they don't pay attention to detail. Once you don't set the ends, once you don't get off blocks and make tackles, that's when bad things start to happen to this football team. Once they're locked in, they did. They had to scale back their defense because they have so many young guys. They played a lot of cover one, some man with some cover three, a little bit of zone. But like we say, it's not about what you play. It's about are you executing and are you paying attention to detail? And that's what they're doing. He deserves a lot of credit. Kyle Shanahan deserves the most credit because, you know, as you know, in the National Football League, you have individuals and everybody's always thinking about when they're going to get paid, protecting themselves, protecting their interests. And a lot of times when you're losing football games and you're 3-10, you know, there's guys out there that can give up. This team hasn't given up. They play with a lot of effort, and that's a hats off to the entire coaching staff, but most definitely Kyle Shanahan.
Is this big for John Lynch, too, to see these young members of the secondary come in? Because the Lynch drafts have been under some criticism, but to see Marcel come in and to see DJ Reed play that well, is this vindicating somewhat for John Lynch?
Rightfully so. I think that it's great for John Lynch. It's great for the organization. But still, you have to get wins. You know, you have a lot of youth. You decide to go the youth way. Now you have to develop them and you have to win. You put a lot of pressure on yourself in this third year to get wins, or you might not be here, and that goes for everybody. So if they can continue to win, if they can come out, compete with the Chicago Bears, win the last two football games of the season, you could possibly end up 6-10. You know, feeling good about yourself going into the offseason. So, you know, I think they're feeling really good right now.
You have a playoff team in Seattle that, you know, that 2 weeks ago they motorboated the San Francisco 49ers, won by 25, and you say, okay, how much was this a letdown? Seattle believed, come in here, punch them in the mouth, they've won 11 straight, that they would, San Fran would quit, they would get that win. Chicago's a different animal. It's a different beast. You look at their pass rushers and look at that defense and what they're bringing to the table. Do you see this game now, because of the way they're playing, that San Fran has a letdown because they got that monkey off their back? And what would this do for Mullins if he doesn't play well? Does this hurt his trade value?
Well, I'm probably not going to be, majority in the room, but I'm actually going to pick the Niners to beat the Chicago Bears. And I'll say this primarily because I was in that defensive room with Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell every time we would face the Kyle Shanahan offense. And I know how much they respect him. We played him in Washington when he was there. We played him in the NFC Championship when he was in Atlanta. And it was always hard, no matter the scheme, no matter the pass rush, or the players we had on the field, to stop this offense because of the deception. You really don't know where the football is going. And if one guy's eyes aren't in the right place, somebody's going to be wide open. And he knows that. Vic Fangio knows that going through this week. He's telling his guys, don't take this team lightly because they can put up points and move the football up and down the field. So, you know, I'm actually going to take the Niners to win this game.
I like that. And that's the early line in Vegas, too. The Bears came out as a 4.5-point favorite, but the early money came in on the Niners and knocked that down to 3.5. Let me follow up on what you were just talking about there. Shanahan had guys running free yesterday, and it makes me think, like a lot of other people, if he gets a lot of talent around him, like some of these other rosters, how dangerous can he be? How far away do you think this roster is from Shanahan's play calling, getting them into the playoffs, possibly a deep playoff run?
I think they're one or two players away. They need a true number one wide receiver that can pull guys out of the box, allow you to continue to run the football, use the play action, and get guys wide open. Like I said earlier, you don't really need a grade-A quarterback in this system. You need a guy that's not going to turn the football over, a guy that understands the system and understands defenses. And when the deception gets a guy on defense out of position and where he's not supposed to be, just get the football to the open man and don't try to do too much. That's all you need in this system, and don't turn the football over. You can score points as they've been doing all year long.
How impressed were you by the fact that it was a second tight end yesterday who had a big impact, Garrett Celek, and not George Kittle? How much does that speak to Shanahan's ability to draw plays that are going to be a step ahead of the defense?
Well, going into the game, I think he might have had, six, seven touches in the season. You know, so he really wasn't a guy that the defense was keyed in on, and that just goes to show you how great of a coach Shanahan is. He knew that they wouldn't focus on him. He knew that this guy would be running wide open. And, you know, he has some plays in there ready for him. That's what all the great offensive coordinators do. You don't continue to do the same thing over and over and over. You give other guys a chance. You know, Garrett Celek, he was known as a blocking tight end. Even when I played in San Francisco, he was a blocking tight end. But he can catch the football. And he had a great game yesterday.
Three-time Pro Bowler, 11-year NFL veteran, former 49ers safety. Check him out on 49ers Pre and Post, where he's doing a great job for NBC Sports Bay Area. Dante Whitner with us here on 95.7 The Game. Dante, we always appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks so much for jumping on with us this morning.
Okay, thank you.
There's a lot to get to there.
I like that.
Couple players away,
yeah,
in his opinion. One of which, and this has been talked about on the show before, a big play wide receiver, a true number one who can open up the box for the running backs. You see this happen with teams like the Rams. The vertical threat of Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, all those guys, opens up the box for Todd Gurley to feast. Because if you can't throw the ball, they're just going to creep closer and closer and closer to the line of scrimmage. This is something Adrian Peterson dealt with for years in Minnesota. And one of the reasons he's probably going to the Hall of Fame is because he was able to still beat that. In San Diego, one of the reasons you guys had so much success, not just the fact that LT could catch the ball too, but Vincent Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
All the wide receivers who could stretch the field prevented teams from stacking 8 or 9 in there against LT.
Yep.
Not a novel concept. Who are you going to get, though? Say you're a top 5 pick. I don't know if there's a receiver out there that can come in and immediately be a true number one. That position is very difficult to transition from college to pro. In college, they don't play any press coverage. No one's jamming you at the line. The second you get to the pros, you have a veteran corner, a strong corner, just all up in your face. It takes some time to adjust. So then you can look to the free agent market. It's not all that robust. If you're looking at the free agent market for wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald's near the top of the list. No, probably not.
That's a pass.
Randall Cobb, Dante Moncrief, Tavon Austin, Golden Tate. It's an interesting name at 31 years of age.
I think that's why Joe and you guys, everyone's saying that I'm crazy, and Dante Whitner was kind of on the same page. Trade value. That's why it's important now. That's why Mullins, you want him to have, can keep having success. If you decide to play him, you want that guy to play and play well. Because now, here's the thing. I can trade him and maybe don't give up a, maybe the team doesn't want a draft choice. Maybe they'll get a veteran receiver. Look at Pittsburgh, look around. Juju, look at receivers and say, huh, you got enough of them. Let me give you a backup quarterback. Let me give you a quarterback to come in and start. Jacksonville, look at Miami. You look around the league and say, who needs necessarily a quarterback? Look at the Giants. Look around and say, look at Denver. Look at certain teams in the league and say, look, I'm just giving you a quarterback. I just want one of the players on your roster that's a proven player that they have, that now this team has control over, that's not a rookie like you alluded to, because it does take much.
It's going to be hard, though. Like, Jacksonville's a great name, but does Jacksonville have any wide receivers? The ones they do have are all banged up this year.
I was thinking about Denver and Emmanuel Sanders and, you know, Cortland Sutton, the guy they just drafted. But if you could bring in Emmanuel Sanders, if he gets healthy, he's the kind of guy who could be a number one for you in San Francisco and easily somebody to replace Pierre Garçon in his one touchdown.
I mean, Sanders is coming off the Achilles, and he's a little bit older. I mean, I still like the idea of trying to trade for Julio Jones.
That'd
be
great.
Not all that thrilled in Atlanta, and Atlanta's got to realize at some point, losing Shanahan, they're not really all that competitive anymore. Sure, you beat Arizona yesterday. Congratulations. Huge win over Josh Rosen and the Cardinals. But bottom line, they spent a first-round pick on Calvin Ridley. Jones was disgruntled last year. If you think you're one or two players away, but what's that going to cost? You're not just going to part ways with that dude. The contract is what's going to be the most expensive part.
And that's where I'm trying to go here. If you can find a receiver that you look through your scouting department and say, here's a guy, but they need a quarterback. Now, I don't have to – the quarterback now, you got Mullins under contract for the next 3 to 4 years if the team to trade him. So, yes, they're getting a cheap guy. They're keeping their draft pick, the teams that's getting him. They're keeping their draft choice, and they're giving me a veteran player. It's a guy that can come in and stretch the top, which what Bonte is talking about, what Whitner was talking about, what you're talking about with Dibs and what we're all talking about. Now, if I can go find that and through the scouting department, now maybe I got something.
I'll tell you who's loaded at wide receiver, the Chargers. Chargers got pass catchers everywhere. Mike Williams is no joke. That kid from Clemson, everyone forgot about him because he had the back injury last year.
It was a back injury is what it was.
Now he is a beast. It wasn't just the Chiefs game. He is a full-on red zone threat beast mode that can change games. I mean, that dude is going to be a very high fantasy pick next year, to put it into some perspective.
That's good perspective. And you were talking about guys who it takes a while as a wide receiver to assimilate to the pro game. And I was thinking about Mike Williams, and I had forgotten that he had the back injury, which cost him basically the entire year last year.
It was nine games. I think he only played in seven last year.
And then
year.
You see him come in this year, and even, you know, they don't have Hunter Henry, despite what Stephen A. Smith may think. Even without Hunter Henry,
that was great.
You got to keep that thing alive as long as we can.
Yes, as long as humanly possible. I love the people that came out to defend it. There's a great case.
Can't defend
lay off Stephen A. Smith. He does so many hours on air, he's going to make mistakes. True. You might misspeak, or you might say the Bears are at home this weekend rather than the Niners. The fact that you're arguing a matchup between two guys who are either out of the league or out for the season and have been so for months, that's not really a slight mistake. Like saying the Bears are home this weekend, Okay, sure, you make a little bit of a mistake. It's actually in San Francisco. That could slip through the cracks.
Yes, and the other excuse people were giving him was, all these people write all these reports for him because he can't possibly cover everything, so he has these reports, and maybe somebody wrote a bad report for him that he then delivered.
I'd love that.
Me too.
We all write our own stuff.
Yeah.
It's look at these notes.
Three can't pages on the footbed.
The footbed notes are great.
Yeah, thank you for having those.
You're welcome.
Another place, Joe, that we can look at, and everyone's talking about it, and you know who's great friends? John Lynch, Shannon, and Brady, and not just Brady, but Belichick. So now you guys are talking about Brady being on the intel end, Wash. Do they go and say, look, let's trade? You make that trade back?
Oh, my God. You're going to blow my brain up.
Think about
Garoppolo goes back to New England.
Or no, you send them Mullins.
You send him Mullins, and you say, okay, here, let's trade this thing back. Now you got a guy under contract. For Tommy wants to play a year or two more. You got Mullins that's under contract for the next 3 years, and now you just acquired another draft pick. So there's a lot of things that can happen.
A reverse Garoppolo, it's not bad.
Well, Josh Gordon's still there. He's at the end of his deal, but he's a restricted free agent, so you can't just pry him away. He's been okay. I mean, he stayed out of trouble, which is big news for him.
He's learning a lot there.
But he's not putting up huge numbers or anything like that, which, you know, who knows how much of that's on him and who knows how much of that's on that washed-up quarterback.
So you put the tag on him and you say, okay, we'll trade. Give me the tag for a
year. I don't know if you tag him. That's risky.
Right. I know.
That's a big price.
But I'm just saying, try to find something. And you need a veteran, good receiver, in my opinion.
Damn.
With some speed.
This list of free agents is not impressive.
I know. That's why.
Martavis Bryant's going to be out there. In case anyone's interested,
yeah.
Martavis Bryant's going to be a free agent. Darius Hayward Bay is apparently still in the league. He's going to be a free agent.
Give me more names. I got more laugh tracks.
I don't know if I can find anyone that funny, to be honest with you. As I continue going through, Corey Coleman. Boy, this is really getting down to the nitty-gritty here.
Yeah.
There are not. Golden Tate would probably be the cream of the crop unless you not Fitzgerald. Randall Cobb looked good with Rodgers, but you got to wonder how much of that was Rodgers and how much of that was him.
Yeah, and he doesn't have much left. So, yeah, that's why you look at some teams out there. You look at that's where the scouting department's got to come in. Does Miami really have some receivers? They got some guys that can run. How much is it Tannehill? Then you look at, I know we talked about Denver. You know, is he going to come back after that Achilles injury? You look around the league, you say, who else needs quarterbacks in this league? You know, you look at Arizona, but they just drafted that guy. So
they're going to be in. They're in an interesting position.
They are.
They're probably going to flame out. And if they end up with the number one pick, that's a great spot to be because they've already got their guy, assuming they have their guy. If you end up firing Wilkes, next guy comes in with a new head coach comes in with the number one pick. If he doesn't like Rosen, that gets messy that quick. Like that's why. Some of these teams just don't understand.
You know who has some good receivers, and they probably would look for another quarterback? Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, if you think about Worcester.
Deshaun Jackson and Mike Evans.
Absolutely. So I'm just saying, Shanahan knows he's coming to these cats, and I think the scouting department, this is where Dibs, where it's going to be, see what John has as far as scouting. Can I now trade an asset to acquire an asset that's under my control for the next 2 to 3 years? If I can do that, I'd rather do that than trade for a draft pick. Because I want a proven receiver, in my opinion.
All right. Well, that's going to be something they need. Pass rusher, something they need. To the phones, Bob in San Francisco. Thanks for waiting on hold, Bob. The floor is yours. What's going on?
Hey, three quick things. Lowe just took my thunder. I was going to say Tampa Bay. You either have Mike Evans or Deshaun Jackson, somebody that can extend the field vertically. I would try to make a play to get Eli Harrell back from Detroit. Because he actually had a really good season this year as an outside rusher. So you got to push up the middle now. Now you need some outside guys, and that will help your defense. I did want to comment on the horrible angle that I think it was Exum made on the receiver last night.
Yeah, the touchdown.
Yeah, that was just – I don't know. What was he doing? He didn't even wrap up the guy.
It was brutal. It was brutal. I appreciate the phone call. I mean,
he made a good hit on Richard Sherman. He almost had Richard Sherman to the ground.
I love it. Niner fans,
he tried to take
I love the
out.
Passion. Even though they get the win and they snap the streak, it's I got to talk about this Exum play. What's he doing?
Bad angle. Secondary played so well. It's really tough to nitpick on that one play, but you see it, and I've never had to try and take an angle like that, but it's got to be hard to stop and change direction once you've committed. And they always say, fire your gun. He fired his gun, but he missed.
Very hard.
My favorite part of the game was it's raining, and there are all these sideline reports about how the Seahawks are changing cleats. They came out before the game. They've got the wrong cleats on. I'm like, you're from Seattle. It rains more in your town than anywhere else. If anybody in the business should be good at handling cleats, Nike, which is from the Pacific Northwest, in the rain, Seattle Seahawks from the Pacific Northwest, it would be you.
Well, you would think that, but Seattle, artificial surface, for one, so you don't have to deal with the changing conditions. And two, this needs to be said, that Levi's Stadium field is still a problem. You saw the two different turfs.
Interesting. This is a microwave take. 2 years ago, now we haven't talked about it for a couple of years. Well, you think it's still a problem?
And I think that it's still fresh enough to be reheated and eaten safely because
it's
still a problem.
Monday after Thanksgiving, still good.
Did you see? You saw the field with the two different colored turf. Right. It's because they have to resod the middle of it, which was a lot slipperier, whatever that is.
We'll score it. It's okay.
Thank you. Then the outside. So I don't know how, from a cleat standpoint, you wear the proper cleats when the outside part of the field is one surface and the middle is completely another.
Yeah, you had safety's falling down.
Yeah. That field,
Shaq Griffin had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, you saw that. That field was slippery before the game even started.
When the tight end scored, when Celek scored a touchdown, the safety
he just ran by a guy who was sitting on his butt. Balled.
Exactly. So you're right. The turf is tough, and it's tough at the angles. Remember playing defense, and guy, I'm chasing, you're in situation. If you overrun it, Joe, he's going to cut back, and you got to turn around, whip your hips, and you're not going to make the tackle. If you're trailing too much because you know you got the angle, if he's too fast for you, he takes off and leaves you. That pursuit angle.
Mixon did that to the Raiders yesterday.
Yeah, I've been in that position. It's tough, man. As a defender, it's tough, and I was a hell of a defender.
Yet you didn't play defense.
I decided, I should have played defense. I was way better on defense.
Then why did you play the least relevant of the 22?
Because I was selfish.
Offensive and defensive position.
It wasn't about me. It was
you
about
were selfless.
Yes.
Not selfish. You were selfless.
He was without self.
Yes. I think we saw what you would look like as a defender on that kickoff return yesterday when Sebastian Janikowski just drifted toward the sideline.
Averaged 16 tackles a game. Go look it up. 16 tackles a game at linebacker.
At what level?
In high school.
I was no.
Back
I was,
before they even really recorded tackles.
Really?
I'd love to see the stats.
I was that good of a tackler.
Does the Fresno Bee have microfiche? Because we can go to the microfiche library and pull up some of those articles.
I put my stuff from a DVD. I transferred from beta and VHS. To this, and I want to bring in and let you guys watch some of my defensive play playing both.
Do
ways.
I look like I have a DVD player?
No, it's not.
Upload it to a streaming service, and I can access it like everyone else in 2018.
Do I look like I have 2 hours to kill?
No, walking around.
Actually, I do.
DVD player.
Where is this coming from, guys? I miss you, Joe. And I miss you, Dibs. This is the weekend. The weekend's over.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm on brand today.
Days are 24 hours long. Am I going to devote 10% of my day to watch some tired Lee Moore High School?
How about that?
How about we stick to the subject at hand before we
get back to the field. Now I know where to go now.
No, that was inappropriate.
I'm totally unbothered by that.
This is a different conversation. We weren't talking about feet. He didn't try to get it onto another topic.
You can take your shoe off all you want, Coach.
No, you can't.
It's not going to bother me.
No, you can't.
Crack those babies out now. I'm totally unbowed by the loss.
He's not. No. Shoes stay on.
Okay.
All clothing stays on. Despite whatever you were doing last week in here, clothing stays on.
And Guru would appreciate it if you picked up your fingernails after you trimmed them during the show, too.
Oh, come on.
So, I'm just...
Monday morning.
Monday, Dibs. It's too early for that kind of stuff.
I'm just passing it along from a coworker who's...
All right.
He's too intimidated by you to say it to your face. You're welcome, Guru.
Our own Bonte Hill just shot me a text message. AJ Green, Cincinnati Bengals, 1 year left on the deal. Now, they're set at quarterback. They got their own quarterback. They got two great quarterbacks.
They got the Niners' old quarterback.
They got Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll.
Andy Dalton, who, you know, give him some time. Give him some time. He might develop. But bottom line, there's a guy, A.J. Green.
Oof.
But how do you get him out of Cincinnati? He is the marquee attraction in Cincinnati and has been for damn near a decade.
Yeah.
You send him Eric Armstead and your first-round pick, and you get A.J. Green.
First-round pick.
Or maybe a second-round pick with Eric Armstead. You got to find a way to get rid of... If you can get rid of Eric Armstead or Solomon Thomas and a pick for A.J. Green, that should be good enough.
And you do that... But here's the thing, though, and that's why you hope that Mullins play well, because then you still can trade him to another team, a quarterback, and get that pick back.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
If we
get back on the same page.
I would prefer to keep Mullins as a backup because you don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be. But if you're going to trade Mullins, you will get a pretty high draft pick back.
Yeah, but we talked about C.J. Beathard. If we can get more weapons for him and all those other things, we said that he could be a little better quarterback than what's, you know. So we've seen him have games where he throw for 200-300 yards.
One thing's for certain. If you give Kyle Shanahan the weapons he needs, this offense
system
is going to be nasty,
man. You guys talked about this
system. There were guys running free against Seattle yesterday. I mean, they just hung 26 on the Seahawks. And I know it's not the Legion of Boom, but damn. I mean, they look... He threw for 400 yards against Seattle 2 weeks ago. You put the right guys in this system, is it that hard to believe that they couldn't beat the Rams? I mean, the Rams suddenly look vulnerable. The Chiefs suddenly look vulnerable. But you put together a half-decent defense and let this guy call plays with a halfway decent quarterback and some options? I mean, damn. This could be a 35-point offense.
I think the difference between Mullins and Beathard is significant enough to where you wouldn't want to trade Mullins, not knowing what you're going to have from Jimmy Garoppolo when he comes back. There's a reason why C.J. Beathard only has one win as a starter and Mullins has the three. I think he has a little bit more sense of when to get rid of the ball and to avoid the turnovers and the big hits.
All right. So Congratulations to Alex Dare in Livermore for winning the Jerry Rice autographed memorabilia. Every day this week at 8 o'clock, we're giving away Jerry Rice autographed memorabilia because we love you. Because we want to say thank you as we head into the holiday season. Matt Barrows will join us at 9:30. If you would like to jump in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number's 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. How many Niner fans out there were truly upset yesterday that they won the game and jeopardized draft position? The tanking conversation. Let's have it next here on 95.7 The Game.